I want to talk today about the victory that Christ has achieved over the world. Hallelujah, what a Savior, well might we say, and sing from our hearts as we have just done. There is none like He. The Lord Jesus Christ is the triumphant victor, a victor over sin, over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. And the world is that which we know is a system of things that has developed away from God, in the hands of sinful men, men who desire not God in their hearts and in their lives or in their thoughts, men who have excluded Him in their plans and their programs, in their religion, in their education. That world away from God is a world which is under the just judgment of God. A world, the day for its judgment has been appointed. God has appointed the day in which He will judge this world in righteousness. It's a world that sin has ruined. We are not speaking of the created world as such. We are speaking, I repeat, of that system that has developed in the hands of sinful men and sinful men themselves that comprise this world. This is the world that we speak of. It's the world that you need to be delivered from. It's the things, the system, and the place where our blessed Savior came to. It consists of what we read in 1 John chapter 2, in the epistle of John, in the second chapter, in verse 16, he says, "All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," oh, we see that manifested on every hand, "the lust of the eyes," the eye is appealed to, and the eye that affects the heart, "the pride of life," that which is around us on every hand, which caters to man's ego, gives man a place, gives him ambitions that puts him up in the top, that sets him in opposition to Christ, the holy, humble man. This is what is in the world. It makes much of man. It makes nothing of Christ. It's that which is opposed to the Father. For we read that the world, with its lust and its pride, is not of the Father, but is of the world, this world system. And then the Apostle John goes on to say that this world passeth away in the lust thereof. It is only transient in character. It is only temporary. It will not abide forever. The Apostle says, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And the world itself is under judgment, and the men of the world will pass away. An eternal judgment awaits all that which closeth itself out as being part of that world, having not come to Christ for salvation. But the one that does the will of God is he who has come to Christ, who has believed on Him, and thus receives everlasting life, and is in connection with God's system, God's plan, which is eternal and abiding and satisfactory. This is what is the world that Christ came into. He came into it as sent here by God Himself. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the triune council had the world in mind. And we read of the Lord Jesus Christ prophetically in Proverbs when we read, "His delights were with the sons of men." And God so loved the world, even though men hated Him, and though men had turned away from Him, God's love has gone out to the world. God loves the world. He doesn't love the sin of the world, but He loves the men that are in the world, and He loves you. And the proof of His love is seen in the sending of His only begotten Son into the world. God the Son Himself came into the world, and He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The world is condemned. It has condemned itself by its sin and by its rejection of Him and His Word. But God's love still goes out to the world, and it's His desire that the world might be saved, that you might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires that none should perish. He's long-suffering. He wills that you might come to repentance and thus be saved from the judgment that the world is going to receive and under which it abides even now, the sentence of it, that is. But the blessed Son of God came into the world. He came into the world his hands had made. The world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. That blessed Savior stooped. He bowed himself to come into this scene, into this creation his hand has made. And he became as man, a true man, in order that as man he might give himself in death for man. The Lord Jesus Christ then is presented to us as coming into the world. And though hated by the world, yet he set his face to go to the cross to accomplish the work of redeeming the world, to paying the price that would deliver the world. John himself tells us that he declares him to be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to bear away the sin of the world. When he was here, he says, now is the judgment of this world. In anticipating the cross, he realized that the judgment due to the world was to be put upon him, and he bore it all. He bore it away. The judgment that the world deserved because of sin is that which he suffered for, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The sacrifice which he offered was what God has accepted. God has been glorified by it. The price that the sin of the world demanded has been paid. And on this basis, God is able to save the world, save all who are in the world. The sacrifice which Christ made is sufficient for everyone in the world. And God offers it to all men. The world, however, in having Christ presented to it, rejected him. They would not have him. Not only the Jewish nation, which rejected him as their Messiah, but the Gentiles, Pontius Pilate and Herod as well. And all the world was represented there. You and I, dear hearer, as well. We were represented there that day when Christ was presented to it. Away with him, was the cry. Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us. That was the condition of the world to which he came. And that is the condition of the world today. Christ would not be received any more kindly today than he was then. He would be rejected. How do we know? Why, look around you. He is shut out now from men's thoughts. Men will not have Christ. They do not want him in their plans, their programs, their education, and they do not want him in their religion. The world is a world full of religion. And we thank God to know, however, that Christ is still the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. But religion as such, a religion without Christ, is nothing but an empty shell, and there's nothing in it. And men who do not want Christ have a religion of their own. You're going to have religious people going to the lake of fire because you cannot escape from the judgment of God apart from Christ. And if Christ is excluded from man's religion, he has no salvation. He has no Savior. And furthermore, this world, as we look around us today, does not know peace. No one, I do not think there is anyone, who is so disillusioned to say that the world is getting better. Look at the condition, the moral condition, the political condition, the social condition, the religious condition. Look at the result of sin running more rampant. We see unrest, we see violence, we see corruption. Is this the result of having Christ in the heart? Nay, in 1,000 times, no. You know it as well as I, that men do not have peace, they do not have rest, they do not have happiness. Why? Because they do not have Christ. That's the reason. And so the world today, the world without Christ, is the same kind of a world to which he came, a world that crucified him. They did not know him. They were willingly ignorant of him. Do you know him? You may know him. It's only your heart of unbelief that shuts you out from the knowledge of him. You can know him if you feel your need of him. And I trust that you will realize your need of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world for you. You must realize, however, first of all, why he came. He came to give himself for you. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, we read that he, the Son of God, came and gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world, the world such as we see it around us, being more clearly manifested as a world that is in control by sin. And the God of this age, who is Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, is the one who is just swiftly leading men onto destruction, blinding their eyes. Why? How can he blind the eyes of men? It's only because they believe not. It's unbelief that blinds the eyes to men. It was the unbelief that blinded the minds and eyes of those in Christ's day who knew him not. We will not have him to reign over us. They did not recognize him as their Messiah. It is unbelief which blinds your eyes to him today. Unbelief. And beware, dear friend, Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine unto them. God wants to shine unto you. He wants to shine into your hearts. He wants you to get to know Christ, to be delivered from this present evil world, to be saved from its judgment, to be delivered from its doom. And that's why he died. And he wants you to realize that if you are not yet delivered, if you do not believe in Christ as your Savior, you are still blinded and you're still under the judgment that this world deserves. You're linked with it. And there's only one way of escape. But the Lord desires that you might be delivered from it. And all that is necessary has been done. Again, I point you to him who is the Lamb of God who beareth away the sin of the world. Death did not overtake him as an accident. It is true that the world is guilty of his murder, of his crucifixion. Yes, indeed. And you and I and our sins that were represented there are guilty causes of his death. But nevertheless, God wants us to realize this, that the Lord Jesus Christ did not and was not overcome by the world. Death was his own act, a voluntary giving up of his life. He came into this world that he might indeed be the deliverer of the world from judgment. And in order to deliver the world and deliver you from judgment, he had to bear that judgment himself. And he did this at Calvary. There, when he allowed men to take him and crucify him, he was allowing himself to be put in the place where he would give himself a willing sacrifice for sin. It is true he was a martyr for what he believed, for men hated him without a cause and crucified him. They're guilty. That's chargeable to their account. But it is also true that he is the willing victim, and no man could take his life from him. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And this he did. This shows his love. This shows his desire that you might be saved. And that which is able to deliver you from the world in its judgment has been done. And God offers this salvation, this deliverance to you on the principle of faith. In the 16th verse, of the 3rd chapter of John, we read these words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing in him, trusting him, taking him as your own personal Savior, is what delivers you from perishing with this godless world, and also from enduring the judgment that you deserve, an eternal judgment in hell. Yes, if you believe in him, you shall not go to hell, but you shall have everlasting life. Now, this is what God offers to you. This is his deliverance from this world for you. And when you believe on him, what happens? When you trust him as your Savior, what takes place? Why, you are born of God. You have God as your Father. Heaven becomes your home. You are now citizens of glory, citizens of heaven. And you are not of the world, the Lord Jesus says to his own, even as I am not of the world. We've been born from above. And so instead of the world as our home, we have heaven as our home. Thank God for that. And I trust that you, dear listener, know what that is. I trust you know whereof I speak. And you know, it is for you as such that the Lord Jesus prays especially. In that marvelous prayer of his in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, oh, I urge that you get it and read it. You know Christ as your Savior. Think of this. God wants you to realize why he has saved you from the world. He saved you to be delivered from its judgment, that's true. And he saved you that you might be with him in the glory forever, that's true. But now, in connection with your present place in the world, we are intelligently instructed in Scripture what it should be. We're not of the world. And if we are here representing Christ as we should be, we are going to be the objects of the hatred of the world, such as was manifested toward him. He says so. He says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own, because ye are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Do you realize that? Have you experienced anything like that? Well, you will. If you will live for Christ here, and you will minister his word, live his word, and proclaim his word, and live the life of Christ, you will receive the hatred of the world. You'll find it to be true. You'll know what I say is so. The Lord Jesus says so. But now the Lord says we can expect this. I'm talking to believers now, because the world doesn't want Christ and doesn't want Christ's people, doesn't want Christ's truth. Nevertheless, the Lord has left us here for a purpose, and he has prayed for us that we might not be taken out of the world until our time has come, but that we should be kept from the evil of the world. God has not left us here to mingle in the purposes and plans and programs of the world. He hasn't left us here to make the world a better place to live in. He has left us here to witness for him. We are here in this world as ambassadors. We are not of the world, but we are ambassadors to the world. An ambassador is a representative of a foreign country to another country. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are here as strangers and pilgrims in the world. A stranger is one that the world does not know. A pilgrim is one who is just passing through. An ambassador is a representative. A child of God is all three. And the purpose is that we might be here to witness to those who are still of the world and still in the world of the saving grace of this wonderful Savior. We have a testimony to bear. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Apostle, tells us that we are here as lights to shine in the darkness, and also to show forth and to hold forth the word of life. This is the purpose. And we are told that we are to be separate from the world. We are to be sanctified by the truth. God has given us his means of practically setting us apart to be overcomers from the world and its plans, its programs, and so forth, that we might be here representing heaven's plans, Christ's program, Christ's interests, not our own and not the world. This is the reason Christ died. He might save us from the world and then send us into it to represent him here while we wait for his return. Are you fulfilling this? How can you do it? How can you become an overcomer? In 1 John chapter 5, we read, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." God saves us through his word, and faith in him and his work, his word, his person, is what saves us. It overcomes the world in its judgment. Also, in a practical way, he's given us his word, this Bible that you have there, and the truths of it. He wants us to read. He wants us to obey. And as we live in the power thereof, by the power of the Spirit of God, we will become practical overcomers. We shall be not overcome by the world, but we shall be here fulfilling the purpose for which God has saved us, not of the world, yet left in it to witness to it of the saving grace of God. I trust that these few moments with the book have helped you, the listener, today, and each of us to be encouraged to see what our place is, and the victory that Christ has achieved. May we avail ourselves of it by faith.